Today on From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, you'll learn what is necessary if you want to enter the Promised Land.
So you talk to some people sometime and they say, well, I know I'm not the Christian God wants me to be, but let me tell you why. Well, it's because, you know, I'm just not as smart as other people. I never seem to get a break like other people. I came from a bad home life. You don't know about my father. You don't know what I went through. On and on and on. I don't know what you went through. I don't know what it's like. God does. But see, all those things end up being excuses as to why you can't cross the Jordan, why you can't obey God. There will always be barriers to the Promised Land. Therefore, there will always be the need to walk by faith.
He can heal every scar with real truth, real love, real hope from His heart.
How is a believer to cross their spiritual Jordan River and enter into that promised land of abundant life that God has promised? Pastor Jeff Shreve will dive deeply into that answer today on From His Heart. The lesson is called, Do You Want to Enter the Promised Land? Part 2. Hey, maybe your life seems far away from the promises you thought would come true. Your expectations for life have been dashed and hope is razor thin. Well, today you can find a guaranteed hope that will guarantee you a path to the Promised Land. You'll learn the power of getting your eyes on the Lord, how to walk by faith and not by sight, and how central it is to never forget what great things He has already done for you. The lesson is taken from Pastor Jeff's exciting and timely series, Rising to the Challenge, a study of the book of Joshua. Now, if you miss any of the programs we air this month, once they've aired, you can listen online at fromhisheart.org. Now, though, open your Bible to the third chapter of the book of Joshua, as Pastor Jeff does a little catch-up from last time, and then we continue with the lesson, Do You Know How to Enter the Promised Land?
Three steps that I want to share with you today that we find in Joshua 3 and 4 that speak to us today, spiritually, how to enter into the Promised Land, how to cross the Jordan and enter into the Promised Land, the land that God has for us. Three steps. First step, you can get your eyes on the Lord and follow Him. Now, Joshua rose early in the morning, huge group that he is leading. And so they set out and they get to the edge and they wait on the Lord. What are we supposed to do? And the Lord tells them, you need to follow me. Verse 3, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God with the Levitical priest carrying it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. When you see it, follow it. Now, the Ark of the Covenant, it symbolized and represented the presence of God. It's a representation of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. So the first step, we get our eyes on the Lord and follow Him. The second step, we hear the word of the Lord and we obey Him. Verse 6, then Joshua spoke to the priest saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over ahead of the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went ahead of the people. Now the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that you may know that just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. You shall moreover command the priests who are carrying the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you come to the edge of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan. Then Joshua said to the sons of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. And they're sitting there and they're thinking, well, Joshua, there's no bridge. There's no barge. There's no ferry boat. There's no underground tunnel. How are we going to do this? Hey, let me tell you what, Joshua, there is no way across the Jordan River. That's the way it appeared. That's the way it seemed. Remember this, there will always be barriers to the Promised Land. Always, always. Hey, you gotta believe God to take the Promised Land. You gotta believe God to come across the Jordan River, whatever the Jordan is for you, whatever the barrier is for you. So you talk to some people sometime and they say, well, I know I'm not the Christian God wants me to be, but let me tell you why. Well, it's because, you know, I'm just not as smart as other people. I never seem to get a break like other people. I came from a bad home life. You don't know about my father. You don't know what I went through. On and on and on. I don't know what you went through. I don't know what it's like. God does. But see, all those things end up being excuses. Excuses as to why you can't cross the Jordan, why you can't obey God. There will always be barriers to the promised land. Therefore, there will always be the need to walk by faith. We walk by faith, Paul says, not by sight. Because if you walk by sight, you're never going to cross the Jordan. If you walk by sight, you're never going to engage the giants in the land. And there were giants in the promised land. There's a cat named Goliath that lives in the promised land. And he's got brothers. The sons of Anak, they said, are in the land. Anak in Hebrew means long neck. These guys are tall, and they scared the Israelites. But you have to trust the promises of God. Look again in verse 7. Now the Lord said to Joshua, "This day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. You, moreover, command the priests who are carrying the Ark of the Covenant, saying, 'When you come to the edge of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan.'" Then Joshua said to the sons of Israel, "Come here and hear the words of the Lord your God." Now remember, when they crossed the Red Sea under Moses, I mean, they were in a similar situation. It's like, we have nowhere else to go. I mean, there's Pharaoh and his armies are behind us, and in front of us is the Red Sea. And God said to Moses, "Take your staff and stretch it out over the waters, and I'm going to part the waters." Well, so Moses did that. God parted the waters. Then they went in on dry land. This is a different kind of a miracle, because God says to the priest, "You got to get in the Jordan. And when you get in the Jordan, then I'm going to part the waters of the Jordan." It's like, well, Lord, I remember with Moses, you just kind of did that before we got in. That was a lot better for us, God. And the Lord says, "Yeah, I'm not doing it that way. I like new things. I'm the God of new. And so I'm not doing it that way." And so they had to get in. You get in, you get your feet wet, and then I'll part the waters. There's the need to walk by faith. Now listen, we can't do what God does, but we can do what God says to do. Anyone can do what God says to do. No one can do what God does, but anyone can do what God says. Okay, God, you want me to go down in the Jordan, have the priests go down in the Jordan and get their feet in the Jordan, and when their feet hit the Jordan, then you're going to part the waters? I don't know how that works, but I trust you. Doesn't make sense to me, but I trust you. So there are always barriers, and there's always the need to trust God and to obey God and to walk by faith. And when you do that, there will always be God's power when you obey, when you do what he says. You'll notice that all of a sudden there's power. All of a sudden God responds. He says in verse 11, "Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over ahead of you into the Jordan. Now then, take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man for each tribe, and it shall come about when the soles of the feet of the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, and the waters which are flowing down from above shall stand in one heap." So it came about when the people set out from their tents to cross the Jordan with the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and when those who carried the Ark came into the Jordan, and the feet of the priest carrying the Ark were dipped into the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks all the days of harvest, that the waters which were flowing down from from above stood and rose up in one heap, a great distance away at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan, and those which were flowing down toward the sea of the Arabah, the Salt Sea, the Dead Sea, were completely cut off. So the people crossed opposite Jericho, and the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all Israel crossed on dry ground until all the nation had finished crossing the Jordan. This is awesome. They do what God says, and what does God do? God does what they can't do. God heaps up the waters. Now you think about that for a minute. How in the world do you heap up water? This was a miracle of God that he heaped up the waters all the way back, 20 miles back upstream to a place called the city of Adam. And remember that, because we're going to come back to that. But God does a miracle because they obeyed. And the power of God is unleashed when you obey. If you believe, Jesus said to Martha, did I not say to you, if you believe, you'll see the glory of God? And if you don't, and if you don't roll away the stone, then you're going to miss out on a miracle. The priests had to get their feet into the water. And when they got their feet into the water, God heaped up the waters and parted the Jordan River. So how can you cross the Jordan? You can get your eyes on the Lord and you can follow him. You can, number two, hear the word of the Lord and obey him. And number three, you can commemorate God's miracles and share them. Chapter 4, verse 1. Now it came about when all the nation had finished crossing the Jordan that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from each tribe, and command them, saying, take up for yourselves 12 stones from here out of the middle of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet are standing firm, and carry them over with you and lay them down in the lodging place where you will lodge tonight. They were going to go about 5, 6, 7 miles to a place called Gilgal. And they were going to lodge there. So these guys are taking a stone from the middle of the Jordan, putting it on their back, and taking it to Gilgal. And it says, so Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the sons of Israel, one man from each tribe, cross again to the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan, and each of you shall take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Israel. Let this be a sign among you, so that when your children ask later, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall say to them, because the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it crossed the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off, so these stones shall become a memorial to the sons of Israel forever. What does God want us to do? Get our eyes on him, follow him. God wants us to hear his word. Faith comes by hearing, Romans 10:17, and hearing by the word of God. He wants us to hear the word. He wants us to do the word. And he wants us to obey him. And when we obey him, then he moves in response to that. And then he wants us to record it. He wants us to commemorate it. That means to remember and honor what he has done. Many of us don't do that. Why? Because we're not putting down the stones. We're not saying, hey, this is a reminder of what God did in my life and in my situation. So remember and review the great things that God has done. Remember what he has done. It says about God's people under Moses, those who didn't enter into the promised land, those who came through, saw God's plagues in Egypt, came through the Red Sea, saw God do so many amazing things. It says this, they did not remember his power the day when he redeemed them from the hand of the adversary. They didn't remember it. They forgot the Lord. He says, they quickly forgot what I had done for them. But that's how we have, God, I forgot all the things you did yesterday. I forgot what you did last week, last month, last year, 5 years ago. What have you done for me lately? See, this is why it's important to write that stuff down. This is why it's important to remember. This is why it's important to take the stones out of the Jordan River and set them up in Gilgal to say, this is a reminder, because what God has done, God is still able to do. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when you face another difficulty, another giant, another problem, you freak out if you don't remember, hey, what is God's track record? God's track record is one of victory. God's track record is one of faithfulness. God's not going to drop you in a ditch. He's not going to drop you in the grease. You keep trusting him. You keep following him. You keep obeying him, and he will see you through to the other side. So you remember and you review those things and you teach those things to your sons and to your daughters. When they ask you, what does this mean? You teach them and then you remember the point of it all. Well, why the stones? Why are we doing this? So we teach our kids. What are we trying to teach them? You teach them to fear God. That's what you teach them. Look what he says at the end of the chapter, starting in verse 21. He said, and he said to the sons of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what are these stones? Then you shall inform your children, saying, Israel crossed this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed, just as the Lord your God had done to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed. that all the peoples of the earth may know, now watch this, that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, so that you may fear the Lord your God forever. Forever. Because you fear him. Does that mean I'm afraid of God? Like God's name is mentioned, I want to head for the hills, I want to run away? No, it means you have awe and reverence for God. As Gary Smalley used to say, the fear of God is not, the fear of God is, look at God. He is so mighty. He is so awesome. And I fear him. And I have reverence for him. You know how you can tell if you fear God or don't fear God? Maybe you're here and you're kind of blowing me off. Hey, I'm speaking the word of God. You know how you can tell that you don't fear God? You live in sin. You live in sin. You don't think anything of it. Proverbs 8:13 says this, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverted mouth, I hate. That's how you can tell if you fear God or not. Hey, one day, everyone in this room is going to have to stand before God and give an account of your life. How's that going to go? Our God is a consuming fire. The scripture says it is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. That they may fear God, the Lord your God, forever. To know that God is God. There is no other God. We can trust God. We can cling to God. We can do what God says. God is faithful. And I'm choosing to follow him. That's the purpose of the stones. That's the purpose of writing it down. That's the purpose of remembering what God has done. God is a faithful God. Some commentator wrote this about the crossing of the Jordan and said this, the result of the crossing, God was glorified. Joshua was exalted before the people. The Lord said he was going to do that through this miracle. Israel was encouraged. Number three, the Canaanites were terrified because the God who performs miracles was coming into their midst and going to take them out. And then you and I today, we can be educated and enlightened with a vivid picture of crossing the Jordan. This is something so cool. I read it in a commentary by Arthur Pink. And he said this. He said, one of the pictures that we see in the crossing of the Jordan is this. The ark represents Jesus. It is acacia wood overlaid with gold. It's deity and humanity, the presence of God. It represents Jesus. The Jordan River represents death and judgment. The Jordan River is made up of three rivers. One of the rivers in the Jordan that makes up the Jordan River is the River Dan, Jordan. Dan means judgment. The Jordan pictures judgment leading to death. And here is the Lord Jesus Christ symbolized by the Ark of the Covenant. And they took the Ark of the Covenant. The Lord was leading the people. And when he came into the sea or to the river of judgment and death, he stopped it up. He took your sin and my sin. He took your judgment and my judgment. He died in your place and in my place. And the Bible says, this is so cool. One time in scripture do we read about a city called Adam. And those waters were backed up all the way to the city of Adam. And what is God saying? He's saying that Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world all the way from Adam and all his descendants. And if you will believe on him, he will save you and you can pass through to the other side free and clear. Jesus said this in John chapter 5, verse 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life. Hey, let me ask you, location, 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 where are you today? Maybe you've never really heard about Jesus and what he did for you on the cross. Maybe you know about him just in your head, but you're in Egypt. And you try and lie to yourself saying, well, I'm a pretty good person. I think I'm okay. I think if I died, I'd probably 60% that I'd make it to heaven. Maybe 70%. Maybe you're here and you think 90%. I'm 90% certain that I'd make it to heaven. If you're 90% sure you'd make it to heaven, you're 100% lost. Salvation is a no-so experience. You know that you've given your life to Christ. So you're here and you're in Egypt. You want to stay in Egypt? You want to stay a slave to sin? You want to stay under the thumb of Satan? You don't have to stay in Egypt. The Passover lamb has died for you on the cross. You can give your life to him and be saved. Maybe you're here and you say, well, Jeff, I've given my life to Christ, but I'm not living right. I know I'm not living right. I'm just kind of wandering around in the wilderness. I know that I'm walking by sight and not by faith. The Lord says, listen, I want you to cross over. Maybe you're at the bank of the Jordan, and God says, take a step into the Jordan. Follow me, and I will open up a life and a land to you spiritually that will blow your doors. Helen Keller said this, life is either a daring adventure or it's nothing. You know what's not a daring adventure? Wandering around in the wilderness, living a fleshly, carnal Christian life. That's not a daring adventure. That's playing it safe. But you know what's exciting? It's crossing the Jordan into the life and land full of milk and honey, overflowing with milk and honey. You can do that. You get your eyes on the Lord. You follow him. You hear his voice. You obey him. And you remember the great things that God has done. And you fear him forever.
Hey, if you've been afraid to get your eyes off of the circumstances around you, our prayer is that today you'll say, I'm going to keep my focus on Jesus. Maybe, just maybe, you need to simply pray and say, God, lead me in your path. Take my life and make me the Christian you desire me to be, you created me to be. Reach out to God in repentance and faith, and he will hear you. And he'll help you through your struggles and the difficult situations so many people are in these days. God has promised a promised land for you and me, for now and for eternity. Simply go to fromhisheart.org, click the Why Jesus link for more about how to hold on to those promises from God. Today's lesson about the promised land is from Pastor Jeff's 10-lesson series, Rising to the Challenge, a study of the book of Joshua. And the question that is answered in each of these messages is this: how can you live a life of spiritual victory? Maybe you started on that path, but your walk and maturity in the faith hit an obstacle and you're simply stuck. If so, we have some help for you today. Pastor Jeff's 4-message series called Sticking Points, Overcoming Obstacles to Faith, with lessons that will help you better understand how to defeat the sticking points that are keeping you from a vibrant and impactful life with Christ. Messages in this series include the issue of unbelief, trials and tragedies, breaking the chains of guilt and shame, and the lesson, religion or relationship. These are key mountains that people think they have to climb over before they can be loved by God or even consider loving him to begin with. Don't let that happen to you. Get the Sticking Points series today when you make a gift of any amount to From His Heart this month. It's available in multiple formats. When you call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or you can make a secure gift online at fromhisheart.org. And note that with that gift, we'll also send you Pastor Jeff's companion booklet, Not Guilty. Well, that's it for today. Thank you for being here. I'm Larry Nobles, trusting that you'll join us next time when Pastor Jeff Shreve will continue the series, Rising to the Challenge, a study of the book of Joshua. That'll be next time right here on From His Heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember that no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out about that when you go to PromiseHeart.org.